Welcome to Amici, news and insights from the New York Judiciary and the Unified Court System. Today, we are very fortunate to have as our guest, Louisa M. Kay, a partner and commercial litigator at Rowell, Markham, Schatz, Kay, and Fox in Manhattan. She is also the daughter of our late, great Chief Judge, Judith S. Kay. Today, we will be talking with Ms. Kay about a new series sponsored by the Historical Society of the New York Courts, the Judith S. Kay Program, Conversations on Women and the Law. The first episode will take place December 12th at the New York City Bar Association and is entitled Chief Judge Judith S. Kay, A Clerk's Eye View. Louisa, first let me offer my condolences on the loss of your mother earlier this year. She was a very dear personal friend of mine for many, many years, and I am truly proud and honored to have known someone that I really think is a historic figure.
Thank you, and I know that she had a very, very warm feeling for you, too.
Thank you. Now, how did the Judith S. Kay Program and the Historical Society that the Historical Society is launching come to be?
Well, it was kind of just a nice surprise for me. I got a call from Marilyn Marcus at the Historical Society to say that Skadden had established the program and had funded it, and this was at the initiation of Barry Garfinkel, who's a partner there and who was my mother's next-door neighbor at the firm.
Okay. Can you discuss your mother's relationship with her clerks? I know she was very close to many of them going way, way back, and in fact she may have been the godmother to one of their children. Does that sound right?
Yeah, my mother was always very close with her clerk. I think that she really had a unique and special relationship with her clerks. I mean, every clerkship is different, I think, with every judge, and every judge regards their clerks in, I think, their own way. And for my mother, I think her clerks were almost, for her, an extension of her family. She, you know, was close with them personally. She respected them professionally. She relied on them as her partners, not only as mentees, which I think some clerkships are structured as. And she maintained contact with them, I think virtually all of them, very close contact even after the clerkship years. And you're right, she is was the godmother to the son of one of her clerks, Judge Robert Mandelbaum, who's actually going to be the moderator of the program.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Now, I mean, when Marilyn first told me about the program and we were mulling over ideas for the inaugural one, really, her clerks were the first thing that sprang to my mind, because for my mother, you know, I think she felt like she absolutely couldn't have done what she did without them. They were instrumental to the things she accomplished.
Yeah, I know she was very appreciative of everything they did. Which of the clerks will be at the December 12th program?
Okay, well, as I said, Judge Mandelbaum will be the moderator, and Chief Judge DeFiore is going to be giving some introductory remarks. And then on the panel will be Judge Michael Garcia, who went on to the Court of Appeals last January, and Jennifer Schechter, who's an acting Supreme Court Justice. Mary Moan, who was my mother's counsel from 2000 to 2008. Hank Greenberg, who was with my mother, was a clerk for some years. He's a partner, Greenberg Chowrig. And Robbie Kaplan, who is a partner at Paul Weiss.
What sort of things do you think they will discuss or reveal?
Well, I think there will definitely be some stories. Mm-hmm. Of course, nothing too out of school, but I think people will hear some things that they haven't heard about my mother before, mostly about her kind of wacky sense of humor and her great warmth, although I think that aspect of my mother was well known. You know, probably just a few chambers antics and things about inside the court. But they'll also get to hear about the workings of the Court of Appeals, which there are only a few litigators who are privileged enough to actually argue in the Court of Appeals, and I don't know if everybody knows the way it works, and so there'll be a beginning segment on that, a little bit of a primer on the Court of Appeals itself. And then there's going to be a segment about the role of a clerk as partner to my mother, and how they worked in conjunction as integral parts of doing justice. And then there'll be a segment on my mother as mentor. And then Mary Moon, who was counsel, is going to talk about some of the special projects that my mother did, because the chief judge of the Court of Appeals is actually not only a judge sitting on the court and doing judging things, but also the administrator of the entire New York State court system. And as many people know, my mother implemented a lot of different initiatives and programs like the Jury Project, the Problem Solving Course, and Mary worked closely with her on those projects, so there'll be a segment on that.
Now, you mentioned her well-known warmth, but you also mentioned her lesser-known wacky sense of humor. Can you give us a little hint as to what that entails?
Well, so far the clerks haven't. I think that we definitely want the presentation to be fresh, but we haven't really gone into it too much. But I think everybody has at least a few really good stories. And, you know, my mother was, you know, she was actually pretty out there, I think, in life. You know, lots of people saw her singing as she walked down the street to work and stuff like that. So I don't think people are going to be surprised when they hear about these things, but I think they'll be interesting.
What would she think of this? I think of her as, despite a very public person by necessity, basically in some ways a kind of a shy, private person. And she became very comfortable over time in the limelight and very, very good at it. But I always got the impression that she was glad when public events were over. Is that true?
Well, I don't remember public events ever being over. To me, my mother had like a 7-day-a-week, pretty much 20-hour-a-day schedule, which always included some kind of event, you know, whether it was like a ribbon cutting at the New York International Arbitration Center or some kind of speech or award that she was getting. But I think you're right. I don't think that she felt totally comfortable, you know, being the object of admiration, I'll say. I think, you know, she liked to do things and put things out there. I don't think she felt that comfortable having people fawn all over her. But I think she would love the idea of this program because, like I said, her clerks were so dear to her, you know, in so many aspects. So I think she would be very happy to see this program.
I kind of got a kick out of the invitation because on the invitation is a briefly infamous and later famous photo of your mother by Annie Leibovitz, one of the greatest portrait photographers ever, in my opinion. In this photo, your mom sitting at the bench wearing her trademark red shoes and her robe and showing a bit of leg. And
yeah,
if I recall correctly,
a lot of leg.
If I recall correctly, she was at first kind of mortified by that. And I think the picture appeared in Vanity Fair. And then if I remember what she told me correctly, she came to love it because of something you said. Can you tell us that story?
Yes. Well, it's not only the bit of leg. I mean, I think the look she has on her face is absolutely perfect as well. And if you look in the background of the picture, not just focusing on her, you see a lot of the portraits of the, you know, every judge who sits on the court gets their portrait put up either in the courtroom or somewhere else in the courthouse after they go off the bench. And the chief have a larger portrait, which I believe is on top. So you see all these portraits in the background, and my mother with this face and her legs and her red shoes, and I said, I think it's absolutely perfect, because you're like, and I can't use the word that I use. I said, it's just like you're saying, look and see, here I am, a woman, all you men staring down at me, here I am. And I thought it was just the perfect picture, and I actually have the original signed copy hanging in my apartment, and I always smile when I look at it.
That's great. I've heard several people say that there was only one Judith Kay persona, not a public persona and a private persona and a professional persona and a family persona. And was she really a what you see is what you get person, or was Judith Kay the mother, Judith Kay the wife, Judith Kay the grandmother, different from the Judith Kay the rest of us knew and loved?
Yeah, I do think she was a what you see is what you get kind of person. I think she really put 100% of herself into whatever she was doing. And so you did see the real thing and the whole thing. And I think people who knew her, like you, felt that you were getting the genuine Judith Kay. There was nothing fake or compromised about what she presented.
Yeah, that's certainly the way I felt. So tell me something that nobody else knows about her, something I don't know and nobody else knows.
You know, it's hard to really think of something I could tell you that wouldn't just sound trivial. But, I mean, here's a thing that sounds a little bit mundane and silly, but it reflects part of who she was and that always stayed with her. My mother was excellent at wrapping gifts. She could wrap a gift perfectly and very quickly and put on a beautiful bow. And the reason I say that it reflects something that was part of her and deep within her is because it came from the time that she worked at her parents' dry goods store in Monticello. Her parents started out as farmers when they first came to this country, and then they moved into town, the town of Monticello, and they owned a dry goods store, which was basically everything. You know, they had jeans and women's clothes and underwear and odds and ends, and my mother worked there from the time that she was old enough to reach the counter. And as you know, my mother was very tall, and she started out very tall as a child as well. So I think she started working in the store probably from the time she was about 8 years old. And that was what she attributed her great gift-wrapping skills to.
I know she liked to shop at Lodge's in Albany, I guess the oldest store in Albany, and I bet it reminded her a lot of your parents' store, which I think was called Smith's, wasn't it, their store?
Smith's Dry Goods, or Smith's Apparel, I think, Smith's Apparel. Mm-hmm. But yes, she loved Lodge's, and she would always come home with giant bags from Lodge's. I loved it, too. It's a great place. I hope it's still there.
It is still there. I was there the other day. If she were a literary figure, who would she be?
I think that's impossible to think of a literary figure that my mother would be. I mean, it's hard to think in literature of a woman who is, so accomplished and so, I don't know, so also humane, and even to think of a male character like her is difficult because my mother was not only, so brilliant and accomplished, she was practical and decisive and elegant, and she was also compassionate and a real human being. So I can't think of anybody in literature that is really parallel to her.
I think that's a way of saying she was one of a kind.
She was definitely one of a kind.
I suspect every day now, pretty much someone mentions your mother to you, and I bet it's been like that for most of your life. But what sort of things have you learned about her since her passing that you didn't know before? Anything?
I mean, I think the sheer magnitude of her accomplishments and what she produced, you know, I think there's literally like hundreds of articles, all the opinions, you know. I think I was aware of the big ones, but I, you know, I'm not a scholar of Judith Kay's jurisprudence, and, you know, there have been several programs about her, and there'll be discussion of a case or an article that I just never knew about. And, you know, it's so interesting, and I'm so proud of her every time I go to one of these programs.
Oh, how could you not be? Now, is the December 12th event open to the public?
Yes, it is. And if anybody wants to register, they can go to the Courts Historical Society website, which is www.nycourts.gov/history, and there's a registration link on the page.
Terrific. I'm sure the program will be a great success, and I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me.
I hope so, and thank you so much for doing this.
Sure thing.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Amici. If you have a suggestion for a topic on Amici, call John Carr at 518-453-8669 or send him a note at jcaher@nycourts.gov. In the meantime, stay tuned.